Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Really, 007.
James Bond is coming back to the big screen in cinemas in the UK, and we're hoping to go to every one of the 25 films. Join us as we celebrate the 60th anniversary of our favourite British agents by watching them all in order. We hope you guys are watching them too, so please let us know your thoughts. You can find us on social media at Facebook, Twitter and Instagram, and our podcast is available on iTunes and Spotify, as well as video episodes on YouTube. Simply search for Really 007 Pod. Hot on the heels of the awesome success of GoldenEye, Pierce Brosnan was back, with a bang, in Tomorrow Never Dies.
Action stations.
Aye, aye, sir. Sound the general alarm.
The Chinese pilot insists we're inside their territorial waters and he will fire.
An act of violence.
Torpedo, torpedo, torpedo.
It was an unprovoked attack on a ship in international waters.
The promise of war.
And instead of decisive action, all you want to do is
investigate. My goal is to prevent World War III, Admiral.
Now, the world has only one chance for peace.
When will our ships be in position?
48 hours.
And just one man for the job.
Bond. James Bond.
How much do you know about Elliot Carver, 007?
Worldwide media ban. Most newspapers, radio, satellite TV.
There's no news. Like bad news.
I understand you once had a relationship with Carver's wife.
Was it something I said?
How about the words, I'll be right back? I'm from the New China News Agency.
Looking for a news story?
I could have taken care of him.
Let the mayhem begin. Your new BMW.
Will you need collision coverage?
Yes.
Property destruction?
Definitely.
Personal injury?
Accidents do happen.
No, 007.
Lucinda developed a certain attachment.
I get to work with a decadent agent of a corrupt Western power.
I think you've found the right decadent, corrupt Western agent as a partner.
Phase 2 is underway.
This holiday season.
What the hell is he doing?
His job. The world belongs to Bond.
When you remove Mr. Bond's heart, there should just be enough time for him to watch it stop beating.
I would have thought watching your TV shows was torture enough.
So we're here at Berry View. I'm not sure the last time I went here, maybe it was Living Daylights. Certainly I wasn't here for License to Kill.
GoldenEye for me.
Yeah. Oh, so, yeah, you were, of course. So you were, yeah. Was it just
you and Chris,
wasn't it? Yeah.
It was
romantic.
Yeah, that's it. I love these. Yeah. I love these combinations of people. But tonight, it is just myself, Matt and John. And we will be watching the second Pierce Brosnan film. It's already, you know, still not got over that Roger's finished, that Pierce is finished.
Romping along.
We go again, more and more films, one a week. GoldenEye, I've barely got over that we have seen that, thankfully. Mm. So Tomorrow Never Dies, guys. A curious one when we started the podcast, because I assumed this would be one of the ones that was a bit sort of, yeah, it's all right, it's fairly average, it's inoffensive, it's good fun, nothing more, nothing less, but it's just another Bond film. But do you think it's a bit different to that, John?
Right. I think that it's got a lot of tropes in it that you find throughout the series. I mean, I think if you look at it really, the story is pretty much the same as The Only Twice, Spy of Love Me, playing off the nation against each other.
Yeah.
But it's not to its detriment, it's to its merit. It's a standard Bond film, but actually that's a good thing.
Yeah.
It's got that like personal angle that hasn't been there before by adding an old flame of Bond's coming back and stuff.
Yeah.
But when I think of Tomorrow Never Dies, I think it is the easiest watching Bond film out of every single one.
Yeah. It's amazing.
If I was ever had a Sunday afternoon where I just wanted to chill out, Tomorrow Never Dies would be the obvious choice, because hear me right here, again, it's to its merit, it's not to its detriment.
Yeah.
There's so much mindless action that is so good in it.
Yeah.
It's very similar to the 90s action films of that time.
Yeah.
You know, the likes of Con Air, the likes of Face Off, the likes of
Executive
Decision. Yeah. It's got that kind of action. It's got that kind of OTT villain.
Yeah,
And
very 90s villain, isn't it?
Very, very 90s villain, very 90s action, and I'm just really looking forward to it. I think people who get a bit snobby about it just need to just chill out, you know, like at the end of the day, if you look throughout each of the Bond era, you could argue that each decade had a generic Bond film of that, of that era, but they're all brilliant, so let's just enjoy
absolutely.
It, you know?
The irony, of course, is that they're being shown on ITV, and the Sunday afternoon one is Honor Majesty's and the Saturday night one is Tomorrow Never Dies, but Tomorrow Never Dies works for both.
It does. As John says, I completely agree. It's possibly one of the easiest to watch. Woo. And I don't get sick of it. You know, I agree. You can't have every single Bond film being, you know, the most personal ever or the most dangerous, but I don't know, ever. But it's you need some of these more solid by the numbers ones in order for the others to stand out. Yeah. And you know, I think as a follow up to GoldenEye, which was a massive success and, you know, a really seminal moment for Bond to be back and to be, you know, really popular again, I think it does a pretty solid job.
Yeah.
In sort of continuing that momentum. And, you know, Pierce is getting more and more accustomed to the role, and you know, there's maybe not quite as the same amount of incredible supporting characters as GoldenEye, but there's still some really good standout ones.
There's some brilliant supporting characters. Obviously, it's Colin Salmon's first. But what is fascinating about his film is about how many English actors are in.
Oh,
I've got,
yeah.
So you've got Hugh Bonneville, Jason Watkins, Gerard Butler, Jeffrey Palmer, Julian Fellowes. All there's these one-line speakers.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Yeah. I love that war room. I absolutely love the return of that. I know we've had some before and since, but again, No Time to Die, it was a bit lonely at the end. It was just like an office dictating what was going on, this massive world, life-changing thing.
Yeah.
I always prefer it when there's the team. A bit, and that's very 90s. I was watching Armageddon, and it's like you've got a massive team, everyone being advised, loads of different people in your ear, like, just shut up, let me speak, and all this kind of stuff. And I think it does that so well.
Yeah.
It's one of them right at the beginning, of course, with the pre-title sequence, which is a great pre-title sequence. And then there's more as we go on.
Yeah.
Because it is linked. It's another pre-title sequence that's linked, and it's just non-stop again from start to finish. It doesn't. I don't think any part of it sags personally, but we'll see on the big screen. But
it really rattles, doesn't it? And it's
a bit shorter,
just,
is it?
Yeah, just under 2 hours. Yeah. I think it might be.
And it doesn't need to be any longer.
No.
In fact, Lorenzo was on about a deleted scene where, what's his name, Gupta?
Yeah.
Is it Gupta? Has some like magic cards or something.
So Ricky J, is a famous card player.
Yeah, yeah.
So there are deleted scenes that have him, like, when he's looking at the encryptor, so sad. It has him playing
a dazzling array of supporting,
you know, like flicking cards and stuff.
Yeah.
And then in the bit when there's the torture bit and Bond throws the knife at Stamper and he gets caught in it. There's a deleted scene where Ricky J throws cards at Bond.
Oh.
Yeah.
Flippy,
yeah. Yeah.
That's very UO move twice with the deleted Q scene that was in our ITV version.
Well,
the ninjas throwing stuff.
Yeah.
So in terms of the Pierce Brosnan run, I do find it refreshing that all four are not connected to the others. You can just watch them. You don't have to remember the last one. And really, I know World's Not Enough's got much more story stakes, perhaps, and Dying of the Day, the start of it, is a bit different. They're all just, apart from that, they're by the numbers in a good way.
I agree.
I was listening to the License to the Kill review, and Matthew said how you felt, in some ways, License to Kill would be best as the end one of Dalton and the couple in the middle.
Yeah, yeah.
This is the perfect example of an in the middle Bond.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
But Brosnan's so at ease here.
Yeah.
It doesn't interconnect with everything. It's a perfect in the middle Bond film for an actor.
And there's no doubt that he's Bond by now. No one doubted him ever when he started, but the audience are completely with him. That's never been an issue in his films.
Yeah.
And I'm looking forward to see Jonathan Pryce because at the time he was a bit, again, critics were a bit sniffy, weren't they, about his performance. But I'm so glad on Bond Twitter, Tomorrow Never Dies is actually talked about way more than I think I would have thought, and his performance is pretty well regarded. I'm so pleased.
Yeah, I love it.
Yeah.
I mean, it's incredibly hammy, but I love hammy over the top villains.
Yeah.
So I love it, you know, and the 90s is full of that. So to me, it just fits perfectly.
Yeah.
And I don't want to mention names because it might be a bit harsh, but there was a World Cup, Bond World Cup thing that happened. And you had to send in your favourite moment of every single Bond.
Oh, yeah, yeah. We did that, didn't we?
And
I
sent in, like, my whole list, and my thing for Tomorrow Never Dies was my favourite bit of the whole of Tomorrow Never Dies is Jonathan Pryce mimicking Wei Lin doing the thing.
Yeah.
And the person who was putting it together were like, no, be serious, please. And I was like, no, that is my favourite bit. You know, get over it.
It gets voted like worst moment, doesn't it?
No. But I think, you know,
so nice.
Strong moments, if he drags, he's sort of a bit like that.
He is,
like, we've just had Sean Bean as Alec Trevelyan, who's very much Bond's equal, physical, you know, threat and everything like that. So then to go back to this person who he himself's not physical or, you know, anything like that, but he has a henchman, clearly. But he's someone who, you know, he's the one pulling the strings and doing all these things behind the scenes. And, you know, sometimes it's good to have a villain like that.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
They're all very different, the Brosnan villains, aren't they?
Oh, yeah, they are.
Come to think of it.
Yeah, they are.
Obviously, Lecter's completely different again.
Yeah.
Toby Steams is a bit of a mix because he's both the billionaire, but he gets his hands dirty and fight and stuff. I know people, please, you know, I want them to give Dying of the Day a chance. I really do. But that's for another night. But Tomorrow Never Dies, it's just, after a ridiculously hot week, sit in some air-conditioned cinema and just enjoy a great Bond film.
Absolutely.
I can't wait to see it, lads.
Yeah. I'm looking forward to it, definitely.
Hello, this is Gary Kay at the Odeon Cinema in Bath. Just decided to go and see Tomorrow Never Dies and give another Pierce Brosnan film a go, not seen since his original release. I think I only saw this one either once on its original release. And to be honest with you, one of the main reasons I'm coming tonight is to hear David Arnold's score through the cinema sound system. So that's the thing I'm most looking forward to. Although, when I rewatched this for the first time in a good couple of years earlier this year, I remember particularly enjoying Michelle Yeoh as as before, I always liked her as an actress and also the characters she plays in Tomorrow Never Dies, as well as Terry Hatcher, who was significantly better than I remember. So very much looking forward to that. Anyway, speak to you after the film.
Hi, Really 007, this is Dom here. I've decided to make a script so this preview will be easier for me to describe. Tonight I'll be going to watch Tomorrow Never Dies at the Odeon in Milton Keynes. I've just come off a night shift, so I'm feeling very tired, but I'm still super excited for this one. For me, personally, this is a nostalgic film because Tomorrow Never Dies is actually the first James Bond film I ever saw. So this is probably where the love of James Bond comes from initially. My mum and dad recorded this film for me and my brother when I was probably about 5 or 6, as ITV was showing it in the 90s. For me, I feel Pierce Brosnan is my Bond as he is the first one I ever saw. I feel he's very well dressed, a great sense of humour, and slightly serious, but not as serious as Dalton. He plays it very well and mixes Connery, Moore and Dalton together very well. I own all the Bond films on Blu-ray, and over the years I've watched this one many times when I just want a nice afternoon film viewing, as well as buying it on Apple TV. For me, the thing that stands out about this film is the car chase, as I love cars personally, involved in the BMW 750. I remember this broadly as well as Q coming to the Hamburg airport undercover to show Bond the car. I really like the soundtrack in this film. I feel David Arnold does a sterling job with the soundtrack, really gets it Barry-esque. I like White Knight at the beginning in the pre-title sequence, as that's a great song, as well as All in the Day's Work at the end with Stamper, the Hamburg print and press song where he's walking along before he gets shot, that's good music as well for me. Surrender is a great James Bond ending song, and it's a shame it wasn't the main title song, but I guess this is at a time where artists were chosen for their musical repertoire at the time, as opposed to what fits for the purpose of the film. I'm looking forward to hearing the soundtrack on the big speakers as well, and seeing that the picture quality still holds up today, as I thought it always did. I don't think it's the best James Bond film for me, but a couple of hours entertainment is definitely hard to beat. I'm not the biggest fan of Wei Lin, but I feel like she's a good Bond girl overall. Paris Carver is, for me, easily forgotten about. She's not in it for very long, and gets killed quite easily. Jonathan Pryce's Elliot Carver is not the best villain for me, but his scheme is quite memorable. It's more one of the more realistic ones. Stamper is a good henchman, although he's basically based on Necros, with his big build and silver hair. The ending is great as he tries to avenge Carver and Kaufman, and when he excels in being stabbed and the knife twisted, he loves this. It's a shame that Dr. Kaufman is not in it for any long, as he is very memorable in the hotel scene. Henry Gupta is forgotten about, and it's a shame his car trick scene wasn't in the final cut, if you've ever seen that. The M scene with Jeffrey Palmer and Robinson is a good one at the beginning, at the Arms Bazaar, as well as the scene where they discover that the ship has been in international waters and sunken and the sailors murdered. Then when Bond comes in to sort them all out with their bickering and to start his job, basically. I really like this scene. The Germany stuff for me is fantastic, but once they go to Vietnam, I feel it slows down a little bit for me. But the bike chase is memorable. The ending on the ship isn't the best. I feel it slows down from here as well. But once Bond sets the bombs off and everything goes hellfire, I feel it picks up a bit from there. I'm not keen on the ending where they're waiting to be picked up, but that music, All in the Day's Work, just makes me enjoy watching that scene. Anyway, I'm going to leave this here and give my feedback once I've watched it tonight. Cheers, Really 007. Enjoy the film, everybody.
Hi, Steve Clamp here, a.k.a. Steve Clamp. This joke's getting old now. Anyway, I'm here with my son, Ben. Say hi, Ben.
Hello.
Ben's 15. The last one we saw together was The Spy Who Loved Me on this run, so we've skipped a few. I did manage to see A View to a Kill, but we're looking forward to a bit of Pierce Brosnan action, aren't we?
Yeah, definitely.
Cool, let's do it. We'll speak to you afterwards and let you know how it went.
Hey, it's Sam here. I'm going to be watching Tomorrow Never Dies a little bit later. Couldn't go with the guys from Really 007 this week, unfortunately. So I'm just going to watch it by myself. Tomorrow Never Dies, it's interesting in the fact that I feel like it should be way better than it is. which makes it sound like I hate it, which I absolutely don't. But I just feel like there's so many like missed opportunities in these things where if things were just tweaked or just a bit more time was taken or something was added, I just feel like it could have been better. And I know the production had some issues and whatnot, and I think it does show. I mean, what we do end up seeing is great. At the moment, in terms of my rankings and list, it's the same number as it is the same official Bond film, 18. It's 18th on my list, which by no means means that I think it's bad. I just think, you know, there's certain things that really work, and then there's things where it's like, oh, well, it was good, but it doesn't stand out as much. And I feel like I said last time for GoldenEye that every element was amazing, but they may not be like the number one. I get a similar sense here, but I feel like everything in GoldenEye is much more, well, most things are more iconic. Like, even the music, which I think is objectively better in Tomorrow Never Dies, I prefer the soundtrack from GoldenEye, which I know is, you know, a complete, you know, awful thing to say, apparently. I prefer The World Is Not Enough, if I'm going to pick a one Brosnan soundtrack to listen to. I think the main thing that this gets is, you know, the action, but even then, you know, I can say, oh, well, at least this one has, you know, a car chase, it makes use of the main vehicle. But is the BMW more iconic than a tank? Not really. That's the awful thing. If the BMW looks better, then, you know, I'd probably like enjoy it even more. But I'd think, you know, that whole scene with the car is probably one of the best parts of the film. The cast are quite strong again, especially the main actors. I think Jonathan Pryce is excellent, and in his own words, delicious. I think he eats up every scene, and I think sometimes it's a detriment because he's so camp, and when you go against some of the serious things in this film, it's a bit jarring, but so many Bond films like that, so I can't really complain about that. I think he's let down by his henchmen. I don't think any of them are super iconic. Dr. Kaufman is great, but again, it's really jarring, and it's very like a blink and you'll miss it, like he really isn't there for very long. Stamper is good. I think he's solid. I think he's one of the better Red Grant clones. You know, I would say he's better than a Kriegler, for example, and Hans from You Only Live Twice, but still not in kind of like the upper echelons of, you know, Bond henchmen. And Mr. Gupta is just, to me, he's just a nobody. I don't really care about his character at all. I just think it's a bit of a wasted potential with that. In terms of the other leads, I mean, Brosnan is, you know, I think he looks the best in this film. I think just everything about him, his demeanor, his swagger, his clothing, everything just kind of works here. I think he looks like Bond, which is obviously what we want from a James Bond, is to look like Bond, but here I just think he oozes it, which is fantastic. Wei Lin, Michelle Yeoh, I mean, I don't think anyone does have a bad word to say about her. I mean, I would love to hear if someone did, but I mean, I don't have one, because I think she's excellent. I think the only thing that's wrong with the character is that she ends up kissing Bond at the end, and, you know, it happens, and it's fine. I'm not majorly upset or disappointed or anything like that, but just based on the relationship that they've built in the film, it just doesn't seem like she's interested that way. And of course, you go through an experience like that, you know, you may want to enjoy yourselves and then never speak about it, do anything about it again, and that's fine. But yeah, it just seems a bit weird for her character. Paris Carver, Terry Hatcher. So I am probably in the non-popular crowd here. I really like Terry Hatcher's performance, and I really enjoy the character. I just wish there was more of her. I think her exit from the film is just really weird, and I feel like it could have been a lot better. And I just think it's not. I've written about, you know, the death of, you know, Bond girls, and what, you know, the loss of the what the loss of the character should be doing for the film. And I feel like Paris just isn't brought up again, and I think that's annoying. There should be more of a personal thing there for Bond, and I think, you know, something should be during his conversation with you know, Elliot, he should have been able to, you know, reference it, but it just doesn't happen, which is a shame. I'd kind of think, you know, it could have been like, she could have been a Sylvia Trench, or, you know, I did the Tomorrow Never Dies alternate opening with Timothy Dalton. I put Mariam Dabo in the role because I just feel like, you know, having someone who we've seen before could have been like a real moment. And I think Mariam Dabo actually could have done well, even if she was in this, even if it was with Pierce. But I feel like it, again, that would have been jarring because it wasn't with Tim. But either way, I think it's a good character, and I like that we have someone like that. It's good that someone from Bond's past can come back and them not necessarily be a good guy or a bad guy. They are just someone who's kind of caught in the middle. And unfortunately for Paris, she's with the wrong person. She's with the wrong man completely. And the fact that he so easily lets her die, I just think is just a bit upsetting. But, you know, it's what happens for the film to progress, I guess. Settings are great. I think we get some good locations here. Maybe not as iconic as others, but I think still very strong. the MI6 regulars are great. I think Moneypenny does really good in this film again. Judi Dench, I think, really solidifies her boss power. I think she does great. First appearance of Charles Robinson, and love him. Colin Salmon does a really great job, and I think if we can't have a Tanner in this film, then I think he is a great, you know, alternate for him, and it's good that he gets brought back. But again, I kind of wish that maybe we saw him a bit more in these films, but the Brosnan era feels really short, even though there's four films. It just feels like so much is compacted into these few films that we have. Final thing, and I before I watch the film again, but you know, a lot of people have like talked about, you know, the title song and what that does, and you know, whether it's a good or a bad one. And you know, in my opinion, Someone Never Dies by Sheryl Crow is one of the best Bond theme songs. I adore the song. I think Sheryl Crow is great. I think, you know, her voice is just so different and unique, and I get a bit of kind of like a Carly Simon vibe, but I just feel like the actual song is just excellent. And I love the track, I love the music, I just love everything about it. You know, I think Surrender, K.D. Langit is a great song, but you know, for me, I get, you know, it kind of reminds me of the song when The Simpsons do McBain, and then there's that end title track. It's kind of like similar to Austin Powers' Evil song as well, where it kind of, it's very Bond-esque, but it feels a bit parody. I get that vibe from Surrender. Not to knock it down or anything, it is still great, and I still enjoy it when I hear it, but I just think Sheryl Crow and her performance and her song is, you know, to me, is Someone Never Dies. And so it does, makes me sad when people prefer Surrender, but you know, it is what it is, personal preference, and the what could have been, of course. But yeah, no, I think that's everything to say for now. I'll be going in a few hours, and I will report back later.
Backseat driver. White Knight to White Rook. I've evacuated the area. Ask the Admiral where he'd like his bombs delivered.
So yes, Lorenzo is back here, and he's talking about Tomorrow Never Dies, and I think this has got to be one of his favourite films, definitely, surely.
Oh, God, Tomorrow Never Dies is one of my second favourite Bond films in the Brosnan era, because it's the second film I saw on home video, of course. I think it's a fantastic action-packed, exciting movie. I love the David Arnold score. The action sequence in the movie is A+. I mean, the pre-title sequence, the car chase, and the hotel sequences. It's just an action-packed, exciting thriller.
It is, isn't it? And it does feel more like a sort of 90s action film than any of the others.
Oh, yes. Yeah, I'm a big defender of Sheryl Crow and the Surrender's theme song by K.D. Lane. I don't get the hate for the Sheryl Crow theme song by fans. I think it's a great theme that fits the story of the movie very well.
Both two great songs, so why, we don't need to have a go at them. We're just glad to have them both, I think.
Oh, yeah. I think they both are fantastic songs and fit the movie very well. And I played the PlayStation 1 video game of Tomorrow Never Dies, too.
We never had that. Is it as good as GoldenEye on the N64, though?
No, it is not. But as a third-person shooter on the PlayStation, it's very good. Could have been better if they went. I know the history about that game being a little bit rushed.
Yes.
Because there was more things that supposed to be in that game, but they kind of hurt rusty.
Yeah.
But it's a good classic game on the PlayStation.
Because the film was a bit rushed, wasn't it? I know it took had to be filmed very quickly, Tomorrow Never Dies.
Yes, I heard a lot of rumors about that. The movie was rushed behind the scenes of Tomorrow Never Dies.
But it doesn't show, I think. It seems great.
It doesn't show. It feels like everybody get along very well in that movie. Brosnan and Terry Hatcher got really good chemistry in the film. I don't see nothing wrong with it. I love Elliot. I love Jonathan Pryce's performance as Elliot Carver. I think he's one of the most entertaining, campy villains in the series. He reminds me of a Roger Moore villain.
Yeah, he does. He very much so.
Yeah, he plays it so over the top, but in a fun way.
Yeah, I think he's brilliant. And Wei Lin, what do you think about Wei Lin as the Bond girl?
Great sidekick character in the film. She's great.
I think she could have had her own series, you know, like Jinx was meant to have.
I'm fine with both of them having a spin-off.
Yeah. What about Paloma in No Time to Die?
Oh, God. Well, Paloma's greatness.
Oh, good. Okay, right. Good. One of the best things in the film, definitely.
Yeah, I always prayed this about that movie. The first half of that movie is greatness.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. It's just a shame that it ended that way, but we'll see. We'll hopefully get a new Bond announced, won't we? By the end of the year, hopefully.
Well, we gotta wait to 2025, where Barbara Broccoli's been saying.
No. We're gonna have to Lorenzo, we'll go to London and we'll knock on the door at Pinewood and we'll say, what are you doing? Get on with it.
Yeah, Robert Broccoli, what are you doing, miss? Why are you going out deep break? I understand what they're going through because of the situation they went through with Craig. I get that. Yeah. But man, why we got to wait another 2 years for another movie? I feel like I don't know. We don't know what direction to go with the series. And they kill out Bond.
They don't know.
Maybe I don't know. I don't know where can they go after that situation.
Back to Tomorrow Never Dies, it was quite important as well because it's the first David Arnold soundtrack, and I wondered what you thought.
Oh God, he did a great job, and I do like it. It's in the DVD. You can cut the the audio off the music. I mean the sound and the music, and you can listen to the whole soundtrack of it. It is pretty cool. I did that one time watching the movie.
Right.
The David Arnold soundtrack score on TND is greatness. I mean, his action scenes in the car park.
Yeah.
It is one of the most amazing music in history.
Yeah, it is. And that, I love that scene, and I love him with Q. Pierce is so good with Q, isn't it?
Oh, they got great chemistry. Yeah. Brosnan and Desmond. They remind me of Roger Moore and the jokes, the humor, the way Bond the way how Roger Moore be doing with Bond and stuff. It's so entertaining.
And do you like Stamper as well?
Underrated. Yeah. He's great as a henchman. He's underrated. Good Otto, the actor who plays him, I think he does a great job playing Stamper. And Ricky Jay too. Man, I hate this in the deleted scene. They gave his character more stuff to do in the deleted scene. He got a gimmick that he throws cards because the actor, he's a magician. And he had throwing cards ability. They kind of put that in the deleted scene. I said, why that was not in the movie? That's
great.
A super cool gimmick for a villain.
Hi guys, Steve here. Love the podcast. Usually listen to it in the car and obviously on the way to and from work. Well, I got to see Tomorrow Never Dies down at Surrey Quays this week. My wife was supposed to join me, but unfortunately she has a small urinary infection and had to miss this one, but I'm hoping she will be fighting fit for The World Is Not Enough. What can I say except I think this has to be Pierce Brosnan's finest hour as Bond. It's a great script with a great Bond girl and a terrific villain in Jonathan Pryce, who looks like he's having the best time of his life on set. I think Stamper has to be one of the strongest henchmen of the series, and certainly a vast improvement on Necros from The Living Daylights. The film is simply wall-to-wall action. I've always been fascinated by that car park scene, starting with the car being operated by the phone, then Bond driving it from the back seat, only to be shot at constantly, to the rockets blowing up the car, then the spikes burst the tyres, then the rocket doesn't take out the door, so Bond has to head for the roof, but then the spikes flatten his tyres, but then they reinflate, obviously, then he goes up another floor and cuts the barbed wire with a saw, resulting in being able to jump out of the car unnoticed, then he drives the car remotely up to the roof, where he drives the car off the ramp and into a car hire shop. It's simply fantastic. Hope everyone else enjoyed it as much as I did. I'm very much looking forward to The World's Not Enough. Cheers, guys.
So you watched Tomorrow Never Dies last night, Lorenzo. You watched it on your home video or your DVD?
Blu-ray DVD, yes, last night. Yeah. And man, I will say this, I had a fun time watching Tomorrow Never Dies. Tomorrow Never Dies, to me, one of the most entertaining, enjoyable, action-packed, exciting 2 hours of a movie. I love it. I think the action scenes in the movie is fantastic. I love the pre-title sequence. Pierce Brosnan is great in it. I love Eddie Carver as the villain. He can't be over the top, but fun. Like the dialogue, like Michelle Yeoh as Wei Lin, her and Bond are great. partners together. The Dave Arnold soundtrack score is fantastic in the movie. I like the angle between Bond and Paris. Terry Hatcher and Pierce Brosnan got underrated chemistry, but I buy the storyline in the movie. It's very interesting. And Eddie Carver's Evil Scheme is entertaining, and Jonathan Pryce's performance is A+. The stunt works in it incredible. I love Sheryl Crow things on the opening title sequence. Daniel Clayman title sequence is just incredible. I mean, Tomorrow Never Dies is a fun, entertaining, enjoyable movie. I love it so much from the bottom of my heart. One of my childhood favorites.
I just love to hear the enthusiasm for it, Lorenzo. And
me too. That's the movie I've been wanting to get praised for years, because it's always overlooked by a lot of Bond fans in the series, but it's such an entertaining film. I love it. I think it's perfect.
It is, for what it's trying to do, because I think most Bond fans' favourite Pierce film is GoldenEye, and then they almost forget the others, but they're all
I think it's the stigma people do. They say GoldenEye is the best, and they say all his others are not that good or bad strips and bad direction. I disagree with all the people. I think each of his films got better and better. And one thing I did like about Tomorrow Dies, I like they pay homages to the Roger Moore era. Brosnan films pay homages to the Connery and Roger Moore era so well. You can sense the fun. Like Brosnan and Desmond Whedon with the BMW car. That is Roger Moore scene in its greatness. The humor in it. Grow up, 007. The chemistry. I love their chemistry, Brosnan and Desmond. It come out like Roger Moore from Octopussy or something like that. Or those scenes. It reminds me of that so much of the fun. Oh man.
Sure,
the
action
in it is the action. Oh, God. I watch it again. It's great, man. I love it.
So how many times do you reckon you've watched Tomorrow Never Dies, Lorenzo?
I've seen it a lot in my lifetime. I played the video game on the PlayStation 1 of it many times. I've seen it on home video many times when I saw it. I've seen it a million times. Every time I'm on TV, I will watch it. It's just that entertaining. Like Calvin Dyson said in his review, it's a fun Saturday Sunday entertainment, relaxing Bond film.
It is. We don't have to have a very serious storyline where Bond is having a personal connection to it. Even though
it's a standalone movie.
And do you like the fact that they brought a character like Terry Hatcher to suggest that Bond has had a past with her?
Loved underrated performance by her. I think she does a great job with the performance in the film. I think her and Brosnan got underrated chemistry. I buy their scenes at the Cobbler's party in the film, and they love scene later on, even though Brosnan with the biting. But I love it. I think their chemistry is very good in the movie, and I buy that angle in the film. Bond had no feelings towards it when he get revenge on her. Shame on me not talking about Dr. Kaufman, one of the most favorite characters in the movie. I love Dr. Kaufman. He's so entertaining. And I love Bond getting revenge for Paris Carver.
Yeah.
It is so entertaining.
Well, when they showed it, apparently, they showed it on English television on Saturday night. They cut out when he shoots Kaufman. They cut that out.
That sucks. It's not even that violent of a scene. He just shot up in the air and falls down.
Yeah, you don't see it, do you? It's not like Wilson Crest getting his head exploded.
Yeah, that's not even a violent scene. He just shot him, he falls down.
How often is it on American TV?
Not that much. I know sometimes the Bond films play on, sometimes on HBO or Cinemax when they on for free sometimes, but not that much.
Yeah. But you've got them on Blu-ray, so you can watch them whenever you want.
Oh God, yes! I still got the VHS DVD Blockbuster of Tomorrow Never Dies. I rented years ago.
Have you managed to see any of the Bond films at the cinema, Lorenzo?
I missed them all when I was young. My parents were busy at the time. I missed them all.
We know you missed No Time to Die, but that was probably a good thing.
I'm glad I missed it. I don't know if I went to see that. I don't know I could have taken. Seeing Bond died, I think I would have been very emotional. I don't know I would have took that that ending scene.
It was very weird watching it, because there were rumors, obviously, that they were going to do that. But
yes, I remember rumors, but I didn't want to believe it. I said, like, no. I don't think they would do it. I don't think they would. I didn't want to believe that, because I don't think Barbara Brock, she wouldn't dare do that. She wouldn't dare do that. Kobe Brock,
Kobe wouldn't, I don't know, that.
He wouldn't want that. I don't want to say about Kobe Brock. He obviously, Bond film Kobe for escapism. Hovey for entertainment, fantasies. We want to believe that Bond would overcome the odds, win, get the girl, and move on to the next adventure. It's always been that way. I know this is a reboot. I know this is Daniel Craig. They got to do their own thing, but I just don't like killing off the character.
That's preposterous. We know exactly where that ship was positioned. The GPS system, global positioning satellites do not lie.
Yes, but our Singapore station picked up a mysterious signal on the GPS frequency at the time of the attack. He could have sent that ship off course.
I have a missing British frigate.
I'm aware of that.
And instead of decisive action, all you want to do is investigate.
My goal is to prevent World War III, Admiral. And I don't think sending an armada into the recovery area is the best way to do it.
Where exactly did this mysterious GPS signal come from?
We're still investigating.
Investigating? With all due respect, Em, sometimes I don't think you have the balls for this job.
Perhaps. But the advantage is I don't have to think with them all the time.
Hey everyone, it's David from License to Queer. Tomorrow Never Dies was the second Bond film I saw in the cinema when I was 15 years old. It was the one I bought on ex-rental VHS because I was impatient for the commercial release. The one I bought again on commercial VHS in an oversized box set with a making-of book and supposedly limited edition storyboard. It was one of my first DVDs, which I bought not only on original release, but also again in the 20-film box set ahead of Casino Royale. Oh, and of course, I own it on Blu-ray. I have at least 5 copies. I own the soundtracks, both releases, the Amiga Watch, the Terminal and Acid Tie from the Hamburg braking and backseat driver scenes. In short, I'm obsessed with Tomorrow Never Dies. Fortunately, so is my husband. It's our go-to Bond film for comfort viewing, and it's constantly vying with A View to a Kill for our most played Bond film. There's nothing better than hitting play on Tomorrow Never Dies and ordering a takeaway to arrive in the middle of the film. Any one of Chinese, Malaysian, or Thai takeaways are appropriately matched to the film's setting, location, or cast. Seeing Tomorrow Never Dies in the cinema for the first time in nearly 25 years recently was a chance to be teased and tantalised with a group of like-minded people who could, if they wanted to, quote every line, as we could. And although that might have seemed like a delicious proposition, we were mostly well-behaved. Well, we are British after all. That didn't stop several of us whooping loudly when Dame Judy owned the Situation Room by telling the Admiral that Bond was doing his job. It's one of the few permissible breaches of cinema-going etiquette in my book. I explored Tomorrow Never Dies in detail in my queer review of the film, one of the most in-depth of all the pieces I've written for LicenseToQueer.com. In that, I explored the film as a work of fantasy, which we can project ourselves into, however masculine we do or do not feel. A Bond we might actually want to be is at the centre of this film, I think. I explored how Brosnan's Bond and several of the other characters feel very performative, again, giving queer audiences a way into the film. I explored how Bond's allies are like family of the chosen or found variety in the absence of blood relations. How this film started what I have elsewhere termed the Samantha Bond Moneypenny Masturbation Trilogy. If you want my hot take on the film, it's that Elliot Carver is one of the best Bond villains. Tomorrow Never Dies is a breathlessly fast film, but if you pause and think about Carver's prescient plan, it's horrifying in its ramifications. Who on earth would not have some form of manipulation from Elliot Carver? What would Carver do with his big brother-like power? Who might be his target? Would it be a group of people? For someone like me, belonging to a minority group, the implications are quite chilling. And yet Carver is also deliciously, hilariously camp throughout, with Jonathan Pryce not just eating the scenery, but practically licking the plate afterwards. And I could talk all day about the awesome Wei Lin and Stamper. He's received more than his fair share of my critical attention over the years. What a beefcake. But I'll leave it there, at least for now. You can read the rest of my thoughts at LicenseToQueer.com if you wish. In the meantime, I hope seeing Tomorrow Never Dies in the cinema made even more people love it, just as I do.
Hi guys, Matt Wood here from Shaken Not Stirred. Back, obviously, from the screening of Tomorrow Never Dies. Absolutely brilliant. Really, really enjoyed it. First time for me on the big screen, as I missed out on it. I was a lot younger then. Too young to watch it at the cinemas. But it was absolutely fantastic. And that's ticked all my Brosnan boxes, seeing all the Brosnans on the big screen now. Really, really enjoyable. And actually, it's great to see a full house there. It's great to see loads of people in there. And lots of appreciation for the film as well. Obviously, there's some great lines in that film, mostly from Dr. Kaufman's scene. That really went down a storm, that one did. And there's things I noticed that I didn't notice before. Obviously, you've got the tiger in the background, or animal, whatever animal he's in the background, when Bond is getting the car from Q, the BM. I've never noticed that before, and it's strange. Them small things on the big screen really stand out. Gerard Butler's scene really stands out more, a lot more. Not sure if it's because we're more aware of it, but when I watched it previous times, I never really took notice, but you could really notice it now. And it's strange because with regards to sound, I mean, soundtrack was absolutely amazing, hearing that and the sound effects, but there was, I don't know if you guys felt the same, but Bond wailing on the boat, the humming, oh my goodness, it was like I was on the boat with them. You know, that was towards the end of the film, the finale. You know, that sound was there. But yeah, no, I watched I'm a local Cineworld in Las Vegas. Not as glamorous location as it sounds, but, you know, it was fantastic to see it. Looks a bit dated now, but technology 25 years ago was a lot different. And honestly, I enjoyed it more than the previous few Daniel Craig films, if I'm being completely honest, because it was more fun, more enjoyable. It's just classic Bond, isn't it? You know, it's what I grew up with. Yeah, it was great for nostalgia. But yeah, would love to hear your thoughts. I thoroughly enjoyed it. Wouldn't be surprised if it topped the box office record and beats GoldenEye. But yeah, roll on. The World's Not Enough. Fantastic stuff.
Trevor Baxendale here, fresh out of Tomorrow Never Dies, which is Brosnan's Bond at his absolute coolest. A turn which, quite seriously, no one could improve on. Smooth, tough, resourceful, witty, and physically the epitome of Fleming's 007 on paper.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads, generally for most people, are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tomorrow Never Dies has the confidence of both a bigger budget, courtesy of the much cheaper GoldenEye's monumental success, and crucially, its star. Eon Productions knew they had a diamond in Brosnan, the perfect Bond for any man or woman, and a superb, trustworthy ambassador for the series. In Tomorrow Never Dies, Brosnan builds on the basics he laid down so successfully in his debut, but adds some new velvety layers. He's brilliant and smouldering in every scene with Paris. He's superb with Kaufman and an absolute blast in the car park carnage. But one of Tomorrow Never Dies' very greatest assets is actually the score, David Arnold's Bond debut being a 007 tour de force. I can't wait for next week. Roll on, the world is not enough.
I didn't want to discuss it in front of the minister, but that mysterious signal came from one of Carver's satellites. PM would have my head if he knew you're investigating him. I'm sending you to Hamburg, 007. We've arranged for you to be invited tonight to a party at Carver's media center.
They're celebrating the launch of a new satellite because now he has the ability to reach every human being on the Earth.
Except the Chinese, who've refused broadcast rights. James, your ticket, cover story, and rental car reservation. Sign here, please. I believe you once had a relationship with Carver's wife, Paris.
That was a long time ago, Em. Before she was married. I didn't realize it was public knowledge.
Queen and country, James. Your job is to find out whether Carver or someone in his organization sent that ship off course and why. Use your relationship with Mrs. Carver if necessary.
I doubt if she'll remember me.
Remind her. Then pump her for information. You'll just have to decide how much pumping is needed, James.
If only that were true of you and I, Moneypenny.
Hi, Steve Clamp again here with son Ben, and we've just come out from Tomorrow Never Dies. Ben, what did you think?
It was awesome.
Cool. Yeah. What did you like?
The action scenes, very action-packed the whole way through.
Yeah, and have you seen Pierce Brosnan's Bond before? I know you've seen him in films, but have you seen him as Bond?
I don't think so.
What did you think of him?
Pretty good.
Yeah, good. Okay. I thought it was great seeing it on the big screen. I'll give it some thought and do some proper recording later, but I do think the pre-title sequence is possibly one of the best. I mean, before the music even kicks in, you've got such a big action scene, haven't you, with the planes and the bombs and the just all going on.
Yeah, immediately throws you into the action.
Yeah, yeah. And it was not too long, because films are often, for me, they're a bit long films. I managed to get through a whole film without actually going to the toilet, which is, for me, quite an achievement.
That's just because you're old.
It's just because I'm old. Okay, yeah, I shall let it sink in a bit. One thing I will just say, I thought some of the dark scenes had a bit of noise on the film. Don't know what that was all about. Anyway, right, I'll give you some thought and I'll come back to you. But anyway, Ben and I are giving it a big thumbs up for now.
Hello, this is Gary Kay. Just been and seen Tomorrow Never Dies on the big screen for the first time in 25 years. Last saw it in 1997 on its original release. I only saw it the once then. Based on tonight's viewing, I really don't understand why I only saw it once, because it was absolutely superb seeing it on the big screen this evening. Absolutely blew me away. It's now my favourite of Brosnan's films. I thought he was so much more at ease in the role than he was in Goldeneye last week. Script was much, much better than I remember it being. The villain in it was much better written than I remember it being. Maybe it's because it just seems more relevant now with the character being the head of this corporation, this very evil character with surrounding himself by equally evil and malicious people, and protecting himself behind a wall of security. And I just thought Jonathan Pryce was a lot better as well as the villain than I remember him being. I was very impressed with all the cast. As I said, I thought Pierce was superb in the role. Not only did he look the part this time, but he looked the part in Goldeneye, but for me, he was much more at ease in the role this time. There were more subtleties in his characterisation of Bond. I really believed he was an aspect of Bond, and I thought that he drew some of the, and made it work, some of the aspects of the humour that Roger Moore brought into the role. But also, there were elements he brought into it himself. He just made the role his own, and really have to give respect to the man. I thought he did a very good job in the film. And Michelle Yeoh, as I mentioned previously at the beginning, before seeing the film, I've always respected her as an actress. I think she's excellent, and obviously she's has these martial arts skills as well, and my goodness, they're really put to some good use in the film. And I thought the chemistry between her and Pierce Brosnan was really, really strong. I thought the scenes that they had together were absolutely superb, just worked very, very well. Terry Hatcher played a decent role in the film as Carver's wife. One of the moments that I thought was quite moving was when Bond discovers her body in his hotel room, and Pierce's reaction, without saying anything, I thought very believable, natural reaction. You could see grief behind his eyes, and there was just that element of compassion that you saw in Bond, that you saw towards the end of Roger's time as Bond. Beautifully played by Pierce in that scene. Really enjoyed Pierce's portrayal of Bond throughout the entire film. I just thought he absolutely nailed it. One of the other main triumphs of Tomorrow Never Dies that I have to mention is David Arnold's score. My goodness, he's a very, very worthy successor for John Barry. He, like John Barry before him, I love the fact that not only does he use the James Bond theme at key moments throughout the film, but also, more importantly, he uses an instrumental version of one of the main songs for the film, Surrender, and has variations of it throughout the film. There's some absolutely gorgeous variations of that song played throughout Tomorrow Never Dies. And what David Arnold does so absolutely brilliantly with his score is he makes the scenes that much better than they would be without that music playing. He really elevates everything and really helps to drive the action along with his score, exactly the way that John Barry did before him. Superb work by David Arnold, and I really hope that Eon have the good sense to bring him back for the next James Bond film. Really enjoyed Sheryl Crow's main title theme, and thought it sounded so much better through the cinema sound system than just listening to it at home on a CD. Having said that, K.D. Lang's fantastic rendition of Surrender at the end of the film just sounded phenomenal through a cinema sound system, and I'm so glad that David Arnold went with that song rather than Sheryl Crow's song as the one that he uses as a main theme throughout to the film. Just works beautifully, and as I said, K.D. Lang, her voice is just stunning. It just sounded so good through the cinema sound system this evening. Such an excellent way to end the film. Just a beautiful way to end such a glorious film. I just love the humour that was peppered throughout in the script, and everybody that had something comedic to play in the film did such a great job. Even Judi Dench gets a couple of moments as M where people were laughing out loud. I know that I laughed out loud lots of times throughout the film. Piers played the comedic lines, as I mentioned earlier, extremely well in the film. And even Michelle Yeoh gets some her moments in the film as well. Just a great cast. Great film, great script, great music to go with it. It was just a fantastic night out watching Bond on the big screen. An excellent example of how to do modern James Bond on the big screen. So glad I went this evening. And as I've mentioned, Tomorrow Never Dies is now my favourite of Pierce Brosnan's films. Excellent film. I'm very tempted now to go and see The World Is Not Enough, possibly next week at the cinema. I know that it's unlikely to surpass Tonight. I do, however, like the pre-title sequence for that film. It's also the skiing sequence in the film with the Parahawks, which I enjoy, and David Arnold's score. So looking forward to seeing that next week on the big screen. Hope you all had a fantastic night out watching Tomorrow Never Dies this week, those of you that have ventured to the cinema, and hope that you all felt as rewarded as I did this evening by going to see it on the big screen. Thanks again to the excellent Really 007 podcast crew for putting out these great podcasts, as well as the interviews that you put out. All the best, everyone.
If you just sign here, Mr. Bond. It's the insurance damage waiver for your beautiful new car. Will you need collision coverage?
Yes.
Fire?
Probably.
Property destruction?
Definitely.
Personal injury?
I hope not, but accidents do happen.
They frequently do with you.
Well, that takes care of the normal wear and tear. Do I need any other protection?
Only from B007, unless you bring that car back in pristine order. Shall we?
Shall we?
Your new BMW 750. All the usual refinements, Machine guns, rockets, the GPS tracking system.
Welcome. Please fasten seatbelt and obey all instructions for a safe trip.
Thought you'd pay more attention to a female voice.
I think we've met.
I am not interested in your sordid escapades. Let's get on with it, shall we? Your new telephone. Talk here, listen here.
So that's what I've been doing wrong all these years, huh?
Look, it also includes a fingerprint scanner and a 20,000-volt security system, and this I'm particularly proud of. The remote control for your car. Tap twice. One, two. Now, draw your finger very slowly across the pad to drive the car. Well, it's surprisingly difficult to drive, but with practice...
Mm-hmm. Well, let's see how she responds to my touch, AQ. Understand each other?
Grow up, 007.
Tomorrow will arise. today's news tomorrow. My word.
Tomorrow's news today.
Sorry, tomorrow's news today, yeah.
Oh, that was deliberate.
No, no. Well, there was something about the title, but it was meant to be Tomorrow Will Arise, and someone misread it or something.
I think someone, you know, made an error and put it as dies, and they said, oh, actually, Tomorrow Never Lies makes more sense than Tomorrow Never Dies.
They're both good.
Yeah.
Like License Revoked, like them both.
Yeah.
Like the songs, Tomorrow Never Dies, like them both.
Yeah.
So, guys, yes. Anything new? I mean, it was a very loud screening in terms of the sound. Goodness me. It's a very No Time to Die machine gun heavy Bond film, isn't it?
It's a very machine gun heavy Bond film. I would never compare it to No Time to
Right,
Die. I've come out with a smile on my face.
Yeah.
The time flew, didn't it?
Yeah.
It's just so easy to watch.
You've seen the shortest one so far.
By a mile. Yes. Yeah, really.
The first half is like standard pace and everything. But when it gets to Saigon or whatever, it just... It's nearly done, isn't it? It's like,
yeah.
I mean, I know there was a lot of issues on the actual set, wasn't there? And it was a difficult film production. And I know that there was a lot of editing and piecing together to make a cohesive story with what they do. But actually, it works brilliantly.
Yeah.
Because the story is very basic, the action tells the story, really, a lot of it. And I think it's just such an easy watch.
Oh.
It really is.
It is. Yeah, I don't know if there's anything massively new. But there are a few pieces of music that I'm so familiar with the soundtrack that there was a piece with Wei Lin when she's like setting up her, or when you see her in Saigon and her.
A few Oriental pieces.
And then I think it was a version of Surrender, but when they're, on the boat, like with lovely jazz bass.
Why are they not on the soundtrack?
I've not really noticed that before, but I don't know. Both were lovely.
I like the score a lot. I really do. I mean, Arnold takes that Barry thing of weaving what he thought was the title song into the score a lot of the time, and he does it well. He uses the Bond theme a lot, possibly too much for my liking, I'd say. But I like what he does, and I much prefer this than what we've had. Thomas Newman stuff. I really like the score. It really shone through.
The Paris Carver theme is lovely.
Yeah, it's brilliant.
And there's like a guitar version of it. The sort of Spanish guitar.
I think this was one of... You certainly got it at the soundtrack.
We were listening to it a lot, didn't we?
One of the first
soundtracks
we ever got.
For some reason, we didn't get the GoldenEye. We got the... I think it was because we were...
Well, I can tell you why we didn't get the GoldenEye soundtrack.
I think it was the David Arnold propeller heads. We were obsessed with that. And then this came out, we were pleased that he was doing it. And we used a lot of the tracks for our own Bond films.
We did. Yes.
The Hamburg break-in, Hamburg break-out.
Yeah.
And, of course, famously,
Spencer McDonald on Key 103 kept using Hamburg break-out. in the background of his...
He did, yeah. Every morning, yeah.
Yeah.
So it was a... Pete Bond, it was everywhere, wasn't it?
It was.
I'm pretty sure that soundtrack's discontinued now.
Really?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure you can't really pick it up.
Dear me.
Yeah. They never released it on vinyl. You can't get it on vinyl.
So many tricks missed, aren't there? Really? It's really popular soundtrack.
So I've seen David Arnold talk about it on Twitter as well. And he... Because the Casino Royale one, that's been released on vinyl.
Yeah.
But none of the Brosnan ones are on vinyl. No.
Campaign to get them on vinyl.
It's 60th anniversary, obviously.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Chris Goldie's record player's empty of David Arnold. Though,
yeah. I've got fondness for all these films, but I remember this one I went to my mate Ben's. Well, I told him that I think this was coming out on either the same day as he intended to have his birthday party, so I was like,
we can go to this.
And so we did.
Yeah, because you'd seen it before all of us, which was an amazing privileged position.
Yeah, I saw it on the Friday. I think you went to see it on the Sunday.
Yeah. Can you remember who I saw it with? I don't know.
Not Daniel?
Could have been, yeah. I don't know.
But
Daniel Bauer.
I love the fact that it is, you know, it's so easy to watch. It's by the numbers.
Absolutely.
You know, in some ways, I mean, I'm not saying it would be the same thing, but it would have been good if Daniel Craig had had something like this after Casino Royale, you know. I mean, not exactly the same, but something just more, I don't know, steady and less, like, personal or
just,
whatever.
Just giving you space to be Bond as opposed to having to delve into...
Yeah.
Everything.
There is one line, actually, I didn't realise, that near the end they sort of say, I think it's Waylon says to him, don't make it about revenge or something, you know, for Paris.
If it's
it depends if it's
mission is peace or revenge.
There is a lot, there's a little bit of
and there is the personal thing with
he is devastated, isn't he?
It's just for this film. It's not like
it doesn't affect the plot really.
Tell you what, something I noticed that's funny. In the last film, Bond calls the villain by his first name because he knows him.
Yeah.
In this one, he calls him Elliot.
Yeah.
Why does he keep calling him Elliot? You know, in every other Bond
maybe
film.
Maybe he's on TV, so introduces himself as Elliot.
I don't know.
Yeah, maybe. Because the news presenter who mocks Carver when...
We didn't do it.
I'm sorry, Elliot. I don't know.
I just find that quite fascinating.
Speaking of Elliot Carver, I'm going to say... Fly the flag for Elliot Carver every day. I don't care, mate. He's in my top 10 villains.
He must be.
Yeah,
he's one of the most enjoyable, isn't he? To watch.
Oh yeah, yeah.
The most fun villain.
Yeah,
it is pantomime, but it works in the film. And
it does.
I know Anthony Hopkins was possibly meant to be the villain. I mean, he can do pantomime as well. He'd have been great.
Yeah, he's brilliant.
Yeah,
but like, you know, Jonathan Pryce, it works really well though.
Yeah.
He's this guy who's just obsessed with wanting to conquer the globe, you know, media-wise, and I buy it.
Do you love his sort of oriental suit as well?
Oh, yeah. It's,
I remember in the Raymond Benson novelisation, I think he explained all that and explained his background more. And that, again, how good, reading that, tying it in with the novel, it's so good.
Yeah.
Additional scenes. Love scene before the end as well, on the boat, So maybe the public would have bought that. What do you think about the romance and all that? A lot's said, and some say they should have just left it without it, but I'm not sure.
This is at
why
time
can't
when,
they do it? Yeah.
You know, when Bond films, they are following a formula, so the formula is that he ends up with a woman, a girl, and we see that in the next film, perhaps even more so. Maybe he should have been left. But I don't know, you know, they're both seemingly, you know, a bit attracted to each other.
Yeah.
I'm not saying it's the most amazing chemistry in the world, but. They're both there. They've got
good banter, though, haven't they?
Yeah, they have, and they both complete this mission successfully together.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
You know, why not?
Yeah, I'm with you, Mark. You're not, because we've said, and we say this in the right way, this is a by the numbers Bond film. It'd be completely left field to finish him with them not getting together because that's like what in every Bond film. I mean, it's interesting to know that like Tomorrow Never Dies was released either the same week or the week before Titanic.
Yeah.
So they were both like, you know, and so I think Tomorrow Never Dies might be the only Bond film that didn't come in at number one at the box office.
Interesting that. Yeah.
You know, one of these films finishes with a very romantic scene with a man and a woman in the water holding on, and the other one's Titanic.
Yeah, yeah. Very good. And there's another link. Lee Sheward worked on both of them.
So
check out our interview with him.
Yeah, absolutely.
Did he enjoy his fights and death?
Love
it was a really good scream, isn't there?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he did a lot of the underwater photography, of course.
Yeah, I remember him.
Which, again, a lot of it is Few Eyes Only, me and John said. Yeah, you know, the finding the dead people on the ship, the ship scenes themselves.
Yeah.
It feels very old school Bond, just underwater scenes.
Very, very Few Eyes Only.
We did get some of that in No Time to Die, which was quite refreshing, actually.
Yeah, a little bit. Would have been good to see him in scuba gear.
Yeah. And the Admiral, we thought maybe they would get the Admiral, but lovely. And again, I hadn't really, I think I'd sort of subconsciously realised it, but Bond in the best clothes ever and the most smartest is meant juxtaposed with Wade, who's just on holiday clothes.
Shirt
shows J.W. Pepper clothes.
I think Brosnan's clothing is phenomenal in this film.
Yeah.
We've got the commander stuff, but very few people look so good in a baggy blue shirt.
Yeah,
like, I know. You know, floppy hair.
Such up, like canvas shoes. And
yeah.
But Wei Lin's wearing the same clothes. It's so weird, isn't it?
Oh,
just a red shirt.
Yeah.
I love, and if you listen to the Best Stunts episode, John Autry will tell you how they filmed the motorcycle chase with the arms.
Yes.
So it was a fake arm, wasn't it? Around and And that stunt. The chase.
Brilliant.
The chase before seemed longer and more to it.
Yeah.
Almost quite John Glenn in places.
The action in this film is really, really good.
Yeah.
I think it's been said by others. Maybe just it's not quite, you know, it's just too much of a shootout at the end rather than, you know, incredible action that you've not seen before. But on the whole, it's absolutely magnificent.
You get a base. Like GoldenEye, you know, and I love it.
I mean, by the numbers.
Yeah.
I think.
Give me those numbers.
I think people underrate it because there's too much action. Like, I do, because at the end of the day, in a lot of film, the Vietnam bike chase is the be-all and end-all action scene. And don't get me wrong, it's phenomenal, but you've already had a remote control BMW, which is unbelievable. You've had a ridiculous pre-title scene as well.
Yeah.
You know, there is so much action going on in this film.
Yeah.
You've even had Bond having, like, proper fist fight as well with the bouncers, really old school. But it's got everything you want in terms of action in this film.
And they have comedy within the action, like John Glendon. So they got the cello, you know, being hit in the room. Some of the things, like when he lands the bike going over the helicopter, you know, a couple shagging basically. True, no one ever heard that mentioned.
Yeah.
But that is very 80s Bond, isn't it? It's very, it's a throwback.
It is.
Which is nice.
It is. Much of it is.
Yeah.
And it worked.
Yeah, so by the time you hear this, we'll have hopefully seen or heard our interview with Stamper. And he was in it a bit more than I remembered, actually.
Yeah, maybe.
Because he's in it right at the start. Well, just after the
title sequence.
And he obviously one of the few to last longer than the main villain.
Yeah.
It's probably, I mean, the people who were like the highest billing on this, take away Brosnan and Jonathan Pryce, Terry Hatcher's not in that much. Stamper's in more than Terry Hatcher.
Yeah, definitely, yeah.
Joe Don Baker's very high. Stamper's in far more.
You know. I think he is higher up at the end. I think he's about six, which is probably not that.
Yeah, fair enough.
Yeah.
He's in it more consistently than Wei Lin is. Wei Lin, when she comes, is massive by the end.
Yeah.
But he's in it throughout. I think he does a great job.
He does,
He does. I think people would remember him a bit more if he had like a significant calling card or a significant, like just being, you know, I'm big, I'm blonde, and I'm German or something, but, you know, which is really good. But I think people would probably remember him more if he had a, like,
because he's sort of copying Kaufman's, he's being schooled, isn't he?
Well, there is that, but he doesn't like have a unique weapon of his own or you know, killing method of his own.
There is a deleted scene where he stamps someone to death.
Really, yeah.
So,
right.
It's
pretty babyish.
It's very babyish. And when I asked Stamper about it, he was like, no, I'm glad it went out. I was like, you're not good to that. Was,
No.
That really dry German kind of.
Yeah, he's totally different, obviously, in real life. Yeah. You know, he's obviously a very engaging sort of, not a man of few words at all.
Yeah.
And not blonde hair. You do realise it is dyed. Yeah. And Terry Hatcher, I thought she was fine. I thought she was great.
Yeah, I think she's fine.
Because she's in it a lot when she's in it, and then she's not in it. But John, you're not a.
Oh no, I've not got a problem with it. I think a lot of people get very snobby with some of the Brosnan stuff, but unfairly. They start going on. Oh well, they got all the obvious 90s TV people.
Like
Terry Hatcher or Denise Richards. Yeah, but he did that in the 80s too.
Yeah,
with Tanya Roberts. You know.
Yeah.
I sometimes think we just get incredibly snobby about things.
Well, yeah, and then by the same token, now they go a bit too far in that they just get whoever won the last best Oscar, you know, as the male villain, you know.
Precisely. I have no problem with Paris Carr. I don't think her and Brosnan have the best chemistry, but I don't think it takes away from anything.
No. It does work, and I just love the fact that in The Kaufman that it's already on the news. I know it's a prototype, but such a good way to original way to introduce
him being in.
Yeah, he walks in, and
it's really good.
And he does say go and stuff, but she doesn't need to. She does help him. Yeah. It's crucial to do that.
Yeah.
And it's I keep saying A to B to C to D. They follow the plot. The plot's pretty easy, as we said. So. To think that it took ages to, you know, film it and get it right and stuff.
Yeah, and they had to change everything.
It seems perfectly well, and the script's really funny. There's loads of good. The dialogue with Moneypenny, Jeffrey Palmer's terrific. I love it.
The script is really interesting. It's written by Bruce Feirstein.
Yeah,
and it plays like a video game.
He
did the video game scripts, and I think it plays like that.
Different levels.
Because there's so much action in it, but I love that.
Yeah,
I think it's logical. I'm quite a simple person, me. I don't want to be thinking like what fits here, what fits there. I just want to be entertained for two hours. You know what I mean?
And the purists will hate this, but next one, give us Henry Cavill doing a Tomorrow Never Dies basic style Bond film. The wide audience will absolutely love it.
Yeah.
And they'll thank us for it.
Yeah.
They will.
Absolutely.
Some great action, great stunts.
Yeah.
Decent villain. Yeah.
Job's a good one.
Yeah.
Right.
Sign
him up, yeah. We will look forward to what other people have said about this. I'm slightly worried it's going to be a bit more negative than the last few, isn't it, I think. We'll see.
People like David Lowbridge Ellis, it's one of his favourite films, isn't it?
He loves the underdog, and that's what
love for this film.
Yeah, I think Twitter mentions it a lot more than Will Is It Enough, even. I'm fascinated. Mm. And I think that's it for us three, isn't it? No more of our crew seeing it.
I doubt it.
Yeah,
I can't see it.
And we promise to go and watch all the other ones in the next few weeks if we can. I'm going to commit these lads to it now.
I will certainly do three of them.
Yeah. But John, I'm afraid to say, is missing one of his favourites. The Bastion. John is the Bastion of The World Is Not Enough, and he's missing it.
Oh, no.
So it's harrowing. But we will be there.
Tuesday.
Really fighting your battle with that one.
Yeah.
Lorenzo is going to be giving his thoughts on that as well. So we will do it justice. But from here, Barry, Tomorrow Never Dies. It's been a brilliant night. Another great night's entertainment.
Absolutely delicious.
Hallo? Ist dieses Ding an? Ja, gut. My name is Dr. Kaufman and I'm a professor of forensic medicine. This is actually very embarrassing. I feel like an idiot. I don't know what to say. My art used to be in great demand, yeah? I went all over the world. I was especially good at the celebrity overdose, but now it seems times have changed for the worse. There's less of a demand for getting rid of unwanted people. The fat people, the ugly people, the plain stupid people. What I'm trying to say is I have fallen on hard times. That is, I believe, the correct expression, yeah? Listen very carefully, I will say this only once. I want you to tell me who I need to kill. As expert pistol marksman, all it takes is one clear shot at someone's head and I will create the proper effect. Or torture, I could also do that, yeah? Believe me, I am very gifted at this. My record is 52 hours. Inflicting maximum pain whilst keeping the victim alive as long as possible. Please, just look me up on the internet. Dr. Kaufman. I will give you a 25% discount on your first hit. I am just a professional seeking a job.
Na gut, wie schaltet man dieses Ding aus? Ja.
Eric Stormon got in contact with us on Facebook to say this about the songs in Tomorrow Never Dies. Tomorrow Never Dies is the better song, only because of the melancholic romance of its lyrics. I like that it sounds as if it was written by a broken-hearted Bond woman. The lyrics of Surrender are not as intriguing or clever, though both songs are beautifully arranged and possess classic 007 flavour. I just wish K.D. Lang had performed both, or that Sheryl Crow's vocals were stronger.
Hi, like a secret agent who just refuses to die, it's me, Steve Clamp again. So I gave you my brief thoughts a short time ago alongside my son Ben, but 24 hours after watching Tomorrow Never Dies at my local View cinema with around 25 other people, here are some more considered reflections. And actually, it's almost like I need to give two reviews of this film, because on the one hand, there is so much fun, so much spectacle, and so many standout moments. To criticise it for its weaknesses seems to do it a disservice. As a Bond romp, it's up there with the best. So let me stick, for now, with all that is wonderful. The pre-credits title sequence is quite possibly my favourite from the entire Bond franchise. Be it Judi Dench and Jeffrey Palmer's respective characters bickering, with Judy's M coming out on top as she should, or the scene at the Arms Bazaar. Oh, how I love that on-screen description, by the way. Just off to the bazaar, love. You know, to pick up some knick-knacks and a couple of nuclear warheads. I love the build-up to the reveal of Bond, which actually would have made a very nice introducing a new Bond actor moment, to the beautifully directed action that ensues. It has more wow factor than the climax of most action films, let alone the opening. Pierce absolutely nails this too. He does action as well as any other Bond actor. Other highlights of the film? Well, I love Dr. Kaufman and the humour he brings when apologising to Bond for having to ask how to unlock his car is a favourite. And then there's the special effects. I never once noticed a model, CGI, or back projection. And actually, it's possibly the only Bond film where I can honestly say that. I mean, I know most of the naval ships and the stealth ship must be models, but when watching, I can't see it. And I know the helicopter rotor blades in the bike scene were added later using CGI, but it's so subtly added to the scene, you can't tell. This is how special effects should be done, to move the film along, to help tell the story, not to become the star in their own right. And actually, as I do love miniature effects, a mention for the naval ships. Now, I saw Titanic the week before Tomorrow Never Dies in 97. The sweeping CGI shots of the Titanic ship seemed so impressive back then. I remember being less wowed by the more traditional shots of the naval ships in Tomorrow Never Dies. But a couple of weeks ago, I saw a clip from Titanic. Wow, those effects have aged. The CGI looks, well, just so computery now. But in Tomorrow Never Dies, the ships, created using model effects, still look just as real. There are plenty of terrific stunts, and the motorbike chase in Thailand is very well put together. The logistics don't bear thinking about. Real stunts, real locations, blended wonderfully with studio sets. So those are some of my many highlights. There are others, including the fight with Bond in the soundproof room, happening over the shoulder of the oblivious Carver security guard. But if you look deeper than just the fun romp, this film has many issues. The biggest for me is a combined one, the character of Elliot Carver and the performance of Jonathan Pryce. Carver is, as a character, all too obvious. I would have loved it if they'd played with our expectations and had Carver as someone helping MI6 thanks to his contacts in China, seeing him appalled at the headlines he was having to write, with an eventual reveal that he was creating the very news he was reporting. And then there's Jonathan Pryce. Just months earlier, the world had met Austin Powers' nemesis Dr. Evil, a deliciously over-the-top comedic character from Mike Myers. Well, Jonathan Pryce's performance is at times more over the top than Myers' pantomime villain. He comes across as little more than a cartoon bad guy and no threat whatsoever. He is, without question, the weakest main villain in any Bond film for me. And actually, most of his stooges aren't much better. And there's the slightly strange framing director Roger Spottiswood goes for, shooting up at his cast from low-placed cameras for much of the early part of the film. And I'm really not sure why, as he ditches it later. I thought maybe it would be to show Carver starting as a giant who is losing power as the film goes on, but I noticed he shoots Brosnan in the same way, so that argument doesn't wash. Oh, and that brings me to Pierce Brosnan. In GoldenEye, I genuinely think he is the perfect Bond. And if he'd only made that one film, he would quite possibly topple Moore, Connery, and even Dalton from my top three. But, and I know others have said this before me, the problem here seems to be that his Bond finds himself in a rather silly film which is trying to draw humour from every scene, while Brosnan, though, doesn't seem to have been given the memo. He's not just playing it straight, that would be fine. Dalton does that and allows the humour to shine naturally from the scenes around him. But Brosnan seems intent on giving a deep, dramatic performance, despite how the scene is written or how it feels. I don't blame him alone for this. Roger Spottiswood is the man making the film. He needs to guide everyone in the same direction. The worst example is probably when Bond finds Paris dead on his hotel bed. His initial reaction is just about bearable as he nuzzles her corpse. But then, after the whole scene with Kaufman, which I admit Brosnan plays delightfully, he goes back to her again. You're Bond. You're on a mission. Snap out of it. Next thing you know, you'll have turned into Daniel Craig and be spending entire films pining. Don't get me wrong, when Brosnan is doing humour or action, he is great. Oh, and personal opinion, the three best actors at running in films are Will Smith, Tom Cruise, and Pierce Brosnan. If they can find one more, they'd have an unbeatable relay team. Final grumble, this film has for me the worst product placement I have ever seen anywhere. I mean, Bond is given a car full of gadgets, and it's a three-box saloon. Why? Because BMW needed to flog bank managers more of its 7 Series. It is the most un-Bond car I've ever seen, and I've seen him handle a 2CV. At least it gets a decent action scene. But that brings me to Avis. Other rental firms are available. The awful, ill-fitting jacket they made Desmond Llewellyn wear is, well, sad, in what was thankfully a fairly well-written scene. But then they make Bond crash his car off the top of a car park, with no idea who it would land on below and who it would needlessly kill, just so it could crash into, yes, you've guessed it, an Avis rental shop. I know people would in reality get killed in other Bond action sequences, but at least he doesn't appear so needlessly reckless in those. He does here. I feel like I really must stop moaning, but the climax features Bond going Rambo with too many machine guns. I suppose it's fairly decent other than that. The score for the film is okay, although unlike the rest of the world who adore David Arnold's first crack at a Bond score, it's not one of my favourites. I think he occasionally misuses the Bond theme. Can't believe I've just said that. Michael Kamen did a better job of maximising its use in License to Kill. That said, I do think Arnold's later scores are mostly superb, so please no shouting at me. As for our showing, nice and loud, how I like it, although Ben and I both noticed the sound effects drowned out some of the speech, and in darker scenes there was quite a bit of noise on the screen, unusual for a movie shot on 35mm film. I wonder if it's an effect of the recent transfer to 4K or whatever it is they've done. So that's it. I know I've sounded very critical, but this is not a bad Bond film. It's knocking on the door of my top 10. And if this was the next film Eon released, after the Craig era, I would be the happiest man on earth. But this was a film that followed John Glenn's impressive Five and Brosnan's incredibly classy GoldenEye, which despite having a far smaller budget than Tomorrow Never Dies, oozes class from beginning to end. So maybe this film just felt it had too much to live up to, too many boxes to tick after what had come before. Despite its flaws, I loved my 2 hours watching Tomorrow Never Dies. It is really good. It's just a shame that with all its winning ingredients, it missed a fairly easy chance to be truly great.
Thank you so much for all you Bond fans out there sending us your wonderful audio clips of your opinions on Tomorrow Never Dies. Fortunately or unfortunately, however you see it, there isn't time for all your thoughts on just one episode. So please stay tuned for part two of Tomorrow Never Dies on the big screen.
Really?
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedy-ad-free. That's amazon.com/comedy-ad-free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.